Stories are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you have a call in for us, we're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. Today's a Friday, overcast, but 20 above. This weekend, I will be working on the yard presents that my Dalmatian left me to pick up. Oh, how about that? It's that time of year. Get them now before it gets really bad.
Before it gets soupy.
And here I got Melissa in the morning, Rock Candy, board member of the school board. How you doing, Melissa?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good right now, but tomorrow I'm not going to be doing well.
It's okay. I've got a big German Shepherd, you know, and a corgi, so.
You know, all things come to pass this weekend.
All things.
Yeah. And, but anyway.
You know, it's okay. You're getting it now before it gets to the growth stage.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, anyway.
Yeah.
That's what I take them out, you know, when I take them out outside the yard on our walks, I always bring the plastic bag.
Yeah, right.
I always do that. And
but you don't follow them out in your backyard with a plastic bag.
No, I don't.
My sister, fun story, she actually does that. She's so weird.
That's weird.
That's weird.
So you went to a borough assembly meeting last night.
I did. That was interesting.
Oh, so, and you went there for testimony. What time did you get there at?
I got there at 6. Actually, I got there at 5:30. I got there at 5:30 because I wanted to sign up. And guess what? I found out that if you're not there at 5, you're late. I was like 18th or 19th on the list to testify. It was crazy how late I was down. And I got there a half hour early. I thought that'd be plenty of time. Nope. Not plenty of time. But I went. It was crazy packed. You know, what was really funny was I heard a comment last night while I was there at the assembly meeting that somebody, I don't even know who this person was, but I just, you know, just listening, eavesdropping, whatever. I shouldn't have been, but I did. They said, "It's funny. The entertainment has moved from the school board to the assembly." And I laughed because
you
I was
high
like,
five?
Okay, yeah. I should have, because I was like, it truly has. Make school board boring again. That's what we need.
You know, when I first got elected on the city council, I looked at Jerry Clearworth and I said, I don't do boring.
Yeah.
I probably wasn't. Then when I was seated as the mayor, there's Jerry Clearworth in the seat right next to me again. He's in seat A.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and I said, I'm going to be a very boring mayor.
But you're not, because you're like front page every time.
Oh. Well, usually in a good way.
Yes, in a good way. Yeah. Yes, definitely. Yeah, it just cracks me up because I open up the paper, there's Pruse.
It's entertainment.
Yes.
But there's a one now that I have in there. It's going to be a little bit arduous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, change is not easy.
No.
And we have the bed tax issue.
Mm-hmm.
And for 19, 20 years, there was a formula. And then last budget season, there's a fight between city council members. And one group could have stepped up and said, yeah, we're going to donate the $100,000 requested, and they wouldn't do it. So that made them look quite bad.
Of course.
In front of the city council. Mm-hmm. And so I weighed into it. They were looking for a process. You know, what we have to, one member was saying, we should talk about this more and have a process. So he looked at me. I said, well, there is a process. And it's put it back into the budget. You know, right now you give Explore Fairbanks, you know, 72%. We take 22.5%. And we've given all the other ones about, all you know, the other disbursements about $270,000 hasn't changed in 20 years. And we give Fedco $100,000 hasn't changed in 20 years. And yet Explore Fairbanks has gone up and up and up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, so I said, what we should do is put it into the budgetary process like every other department. And so I came out with a ordinance with that.
Yeah.
But in the discovery of it, here's the kicker. We have a tax cap.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1999, when they installed this, the tax cap for them for expenditures, anything more than $2,235,000 that you expend out of that is subsidized by the real estate taxes.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, so we can do that, but you have to be cognizant of someone else is paying for this. The real estate. If you live in the city limits and you pay real estate taxes, if you own property, you are subsidizing this one thing.
Yeah.
And so last year, you know, we gave Explorer Fairbanks $2,700,000. We gave Fedco $125,000, boosted them up a little bit. I think we went $350,000 on the other one. So all of a sudden we subsidize a little bit of money there, about $700,000 when it was all said and done. So my theory is, okay, if you're going to, you got two choices here. You're a city council member, you're a mayor. You can go by the 2003 statute and not question anything, not question the subsidy, or you're an elected member. You can say if there is going to be a subsidy and how much it's going to be and direct it as such. And that's the type of personality I am.
Yeah.
And so that's the type of ordinance
I wrote. So that's what we're going with.
well, we have our first reading on Monday night. And nice. Then,
look at you doing the work.
We had some good council members bring up this little fight, I would say, or well, not a fight, but this disharmony. And then another council member was saying, hold it, you know, we're the city council.
Yeah.
We should be expending this the way we see fit.
Mm-hmm.
And this is and there's only one group that had a multiplier, whatever you want to call it, you know, that they get a percentage of.
Mm-hmm.
No one else in the city, no other group gets that, except for one. And now there's a subsidy anytime we go more than $2,235,000 on the taxpayers of real estate. We discovered this.
Yeah.
And that was sort of in the paper.
it was front page. I know, it's crazy, right? Well, you know, at least our budget for the school board didn't make front page. I was kind of glad about that. And then, you know what, I actually wanted to give kudos out to Jack Barnwell, man. He
follows it, yeah.
Yeah, he does, and he's on it, right?
Yeah.
And he,
NewsMiner is on it.
Yeah, they are, and they're doing a fantastic job. And it's just nice to see good articles, thoroughly written and
investigated.
Thoroughly investigated and all the information out there, and it's just refreshing and kind of nice. You know, it's not been an easy process for sure.
So I have to ask you the hard question. Yeah. Tell me about your budget.
It's nowhere near where we want it.
You know, whenever I laugh at something like that, that means it's painful.
It is. It's very painful. You know, when I stepped onto this and started in with the school board, it was one of those things where I don't think I actually knew what I was getting into. And now that I'm into it, I'm going, I really had no idea what I was stepping into or how hard it is to make sure the kids are taken care of and everything that they need is there in the budget with a $17 million shortfall. And that's exactly what we're facing. We did pass our budget the other night, and we're going to need some help from the borough. We're going to need some help from the state. There is a BSA increase out there. I think right now it's down to $650 per student. That was the latest in the House, and testifying at the borough last night, looking for some funding from there. I think it's about time for a break, and we could talk more about it when we get back.
Fairbanks, she is playing Nostradamus on me.
I am.
She saw me doing some stuff here on my board. She's very knowledgeable.
I saw the cues.
Yeah. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Here in Alaska, you've never seen a window or patio door sale like this. Hi, I'm Chris Dunn, the local owner of Renewal by Andersen, and this is one of Renewal by Andersen's absolute best sales. For 1 month only, save 20% on every window and patio door, plus take $200 off your entire project. And with our smart pay programs, pay nothing for 2 years. Renewal by Andersen is excited to serve Alaska, and we're really excited to bring you this amazing sale. Before March 31st, save 20% on every window and patio door, plus take $200 off your entire project and pay nothing for 2 years. It's Renewal by Andersen's 31-day sale. Call now and book your free consultation. Call 885-3100. 885-3100. That's 885-3100.
Hi there. This is Caleb Gibertoni. I grew up in Fairbanks and have now joined the personal injury attorneys at Johnson & Associates, representing those injured in interior Alaska. We represent you and your neighbors when something bad happens. We want to thank Ward Mertes, who hoped you never needed him, but was there when you did. Johnson & Associates is here to continue the tradition of excellent service to interior Alaska. Thank you, Ward, and best of luck.
Fairbanks Urology, an Alaska UroLift Center of Excellence and expert care provider for men's health needs. With Dr. Tony Nima.
Benign prostatic hyperplasia, more commonly known as BPH, is not prostate cancer. 50% of men over 50 have BPH, and that number grows as men get older. UroLift is a minimally invasive procedure that can help with BPH symptoms as well as save your bladder. It is done in the office and does not involve surgery or general anesthesia.
Visit FairbanksUrology.com.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Maintaining your correct tire pressure improves safety, fuel economy, and tire life. Drop by the Tire Guys for free tire inflation. GCR Tires and Service, taming the Alaskan road. Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR Weather.
Daytime highs approaching 25. Today, under cloudy skies with snow likely. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected. Tonight, chance of snow. Lows level off around 1 below. Chance of snow. Tomorrow, high of 20. About an inch of snow today. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I'm in the studio here with Melissa Burnett now, but also I have the Consulate General of France, who is, you take care of the San Francisco office?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Now, Melissa, she's our school board member here, and she works across the hall from me. She's one of my bosses. I have many in this radio station here. And Melissa's going through her budgetary cycle. And how is that, Melissa?
Oh, you know, it's a ton of fun. So for people who are curious, the budget that we just put out. So we eliminated $50,000 for our lobbyist. We eliminated $285,000 in additional cuts across all departments downtown. We eliminated the $386,000 for staff laptops.
What would fix this?
What would fix this?
More students?
More students. More students in our schools would fix this. And the passing of the BSA from the legislature, to be quite honest. We haven't seen a boost in the BSA in 17 years. So it'd be nice.
How was the auto museum?
So we went to the Museum of the North just now.
Oh, the Museum of the North.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
You haven't been to the auto museum yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
We have still many things to see. So as Consul General of France, it was important for me to come see Alaska, which is part of my constituency. And so I meet many interlocutors, amongst them the mayor of the city of Fairbanks.
That was fun this morning. Thank you.
and also, yeah, the Museum of the North. And we're meeting the French community because we do have a French community here.
That's great to hear. You came up to Alaska at a great time. How were the Northern Lights last night?
Well, amazing and as amazing as unexpected. This was our first night in Fairbanks and surroundings, and we actually had planned to go see the Northern Lights, you know, on Saturday night. And we were having, you know, with my delegation, casually dinner, and everybody was getting excited around us because apparently the conditions were just absolutely stunning. And so we, just like everybody else, we went on the road. roads and went to a mountaintop and had a fascinating scenery around us. It was absolutely stunning, and it was interesting also to see that many people were like just like us on the roads on the top of the mountains to check out these fascinating love and lights. And I had never seen anything like that, so it's absolutely fabulous.
How does one become the consulate general like yourself?
Yes.
What was the process?
So I'm a career diplomat. I've been in French diplomacy for 20 years. So I started, after graduating from university, you pass basically exams, and then you enter a career, diplomatic career. And so I was posted to many different locations. I was a negotiator at the UN Security Council in New York for 5 years. I moved on to being the spokesperson of a French permanent representation to the European Union in Brussels, mm-hmm. and then I became the I came back to Paris for a few years, and then I'm posted here again as Consul General, based in San Francisco, but covering the 10 northwestern states, including Alaska.
Personal question: how many languages do you speak? Because I speak one. Some of us in America speak two. But I got a feeling you're about six or seven.
Oh, I wish. I wish. I speak three languages fluently: German, English, and French.
Okay.
At least I'm trying to.
And is the posting in San Francisco your first consulate general posting?
Yes, it is, absolutely. And it's very different from, the previous positions I had, because I'm basically representing a constituency. I'm representing the ambassador and the embassy locally, and the outpost of the embassy for the northern northwestern coast, basically, and the northwestern states. And it's a fascinating area, because population, the Americans are just fascinating, and Alaska is a great example of that. And our local communities are fascinating also. And it's just great to see that the French are everywhere, including in Fairbanks.
You were telling me you have a very healthy population, if not in Fairbanks, in Alaska.
Yes, absolutely. So we have 100 plus so French citizens that are actively registered to the consulate. And this doesn't mean, French, it doesn't mean Americans of French descent. It means actually French citizens with a French passport in their pockets. And it also means that since when we talk about 100 registered to the consulate, it means you have 200 or 300 actual French citizens living here, but not all of them made the step of declaring themselves officially.
You even have ones that are up at the university.
Yes, so we have a bunch of researchers in different fields, on climate, glaciers, archaeologists also, and we just at the Museum of the North, we were discussing the two archaeological missions that are currently in Alaska, and they're doing hand in hand with their American colleagues, amazing, they contribute to finding out more about our history, our common history.
Boss, questions? I know you got them.
I'm just fascinated. I'm just fascinated. I don't have any questions right now. I'm just.
I walk in. Yeah, I got the consulate general coming in today. So you do not.
I said you do not. I did. I said you do not.
Since we were talking about the school district, in Anchorage, we went to see O'Malley Elementary School, which is one of the elementary schools in Anchorage, and they have a fascinating program. And allow me again, to speak a little bit about France and the French language.
Yes, please.
One of the methods they found to revitalize the school that was, slowly getting smaller, had less and less kids, and they really revitalized it by implementing a French immersion program.
Mm-hmm. Wow, yeah.
Who would expect, in Alaska, in Anchorage, to have a French immersion programs? And, the kids we're talking about are not, French-related kids, or very few of them are. It's actually mostly, kids from the surroundings that get the chance, the opportunity to learn French.
That's pretty amazing, actually. We should take you over to our downtown building.
No, you should implement something like
that.
Yeah,
absolutely. No, absolutely. That's amazing.
Now, sir, I'm going to ask her a question. Watch this. What's your Thai restaurant?
What's what?
What's your Thai restaurant? Which one's yours?
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, probably this one, the Thai house right here.
I was explaining to him that we got 32 Thai restaurants. He's going to go to the Lemongrass.
Okay, no, that's great too. I don't think you can go wrong, honestly, with any of them here in town. I mean, Thai House though. That's going to be the winner for me. They got the best egg rolls over there, or spring rolls. Sorry, that's what they are, spring rolls.
Now that's fascinating. I didn't expect the Thai restaurant scene to be in Fairbanks.
It's a huge Thai is huge here.
I'm not so much with Thai. I'm more traditional American. I taught myself some French cooking, self-imposed, and enjoyed that.
I don't think we have any French restaurants here.
That's what I was about to say. We need a French bakery here.
Yeah. Yes, please. Oh, my goodness. Please, a French bakery. I would love me a big old pain au chocolat. Yes.
we have a few bakeries, some good restaurants, but nothing French.
No.
Just where you're going to have dinner tomorrow night, they have a French background, the Lavelles.
Yep.
The French background there. And they used to have the name of their restaurant used to be Club Paris, so not Club Paris.
I don't remember.
Paris.
Something.
Yeah, but then they opened up La Belle. So, but that's about as close as you're going to get to anything French. But with that in mind, they have a great wine selection.
Here we go.
So and what did I give you today?
Oh, an amazing bottle of vodka, actually.
Yeah, from the Fairbanks Distillery. Yeah.
I thought you were going to give him wine. You give me wine. You never give me vodka.
I'm going to give a guy from France wine? Really?
I know. He's got better wine, I know.
Yeah, so they make this appointment yesterday. I'm like, holy cow, I better get him something. I never give out gifts. So I thought, hold it. The old City Hall, that's now the Fairbanks Distillery. It's made with the Yukon Gold potatoes.
Yes, yes.
It's internationally awards so many.
Best potatoes ever.
And if Ukraine and Russia ever settle down and you get some Russians and Ukrainians in your, they're going to love this vodka. They will love this vodka.
All right.
I have to know. I do have a question now. So how long have you been the French consulate, and how long have you been here in America doing this between San Francisco and Alaska? How long have you been doing this?
I've been Consul General of France since summer of 2020, which was a strange period, of course, you imagine, to arrive. And this is the first time I actually made it to Alaska. I wish I could have come before, but Alaska was a little bit remote, but I made it.
It's quite remote.
But the French have made it here quite early. Yes. I wanted to tell you the story of La Pérouse, who came all the way. So La Pérouse is one of our, great explorers. Mm-hmm. Back in the 18th century, he actually, left France and sailed all the way south through the Cap Horn and then up again through the Easter Island, mm-hmm. Hawaii. And then just shortly after James Cook, he reached, Alaska and then sailed all the way down to the Californian coast and then crossed the Pacific again. Mm-hmm. So La Pérouse was one of the first Europeans to actually come to Alaska.
They just don't make them like that anymore.
No.
With the ships they're in, and, they went around the Cape Good Horn, and then back up, and Easter Island in the middle of nowhere, 1,800 miles from the coast of South America, and then up to Alaska, Puget Sound.
Yeah.
In a sailboat.
Yeah.
These were great explorers.
Yeah, they just don't make them like that.
Oh, well, we still have some explorers. One of the main astronauts nowadays is a French, also Thomas Pesquet. So just Canada is the last frontier, but there are other frontiers up there where we have French explorers also.
There you go. Fairbanks, I'm going to leave you with some bumper music. Then we're going to go into the Fox News, some state news, some commercials. Back in about 3 minutes, and you have a great few minutes.
Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The U.S. launched a counterstrike after a suspected Iranian-made drone killed an American contractor and injured several U.S. service members in Syria.
President Biden directed Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin to launch precision airstrikes in eastern Syria against facilities used by Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps.
Fox's Jennifer Griffin. Rockets targeted coalition forces again today. The Senate's not expected to act on a House-approved parental bill of rights
that would give parents the right to know what's being taught in schools, to see reading materials, and to be updated on any school violence. Opponents say the bill does nothing to help schools, kids, or parents.
Fox's Jeff Manasso. A lawyer for former President Trump's back in court in Washington after being ordered to answer questions before a grand jury investigating the possible mishandling of classified documents. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
After a decade of pay-free, state lawmakers in Alaska might be receiving a significant pay increase. KTVF Channel 11 reports the proposed salary raise won't apply to all state of Alaska employees, but only to some elected officials, including the legislature and the governor. This is unless the legislature holds a vote to override the veto and passes measures with their own suggestions. During a 15-minute meeting last week, the Alaska State Officers Compensation Commission said yes to a sizable pay increase for state legislators, nearly a $30,000 boost, bringing their pay to $84,000. This will be the first pay raise state lawmakers have received since 2010. An independent nonpartisan commission determines legislators' salaries, and their latest proposal didn't include a pay raise for lawmakers. Dunleavy earlier this week vetoed recommendations from the previous members of the state salary commission who said no to a pay raise for lawmakers. The governor's pay will increase to about $176,000 a year, up from the current $145,000.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Trying to find something good for lunch? Just follow all those working trucks. All American food and good old-fashioned value and lunch that works for working people. A&W Restaurant on Airport Way.
Affordable Used Cars is the only true one-stop shopping experience in Fairbanks. Affordable Used Cars has the largest inventory of pre-owned vehicles in the state. All makes and all models. That's right. Affordable has them all. Chevy, GMC, BMW, Kia, Ford, and more. The list goes on. No need to drive around all day or spend hours on the internet. Come by today for a test drive and be amazed at the selection and the affordable prices. Affordable Used Cars, located on South Cushman.
You know how I look forward to our little chats. I admit I do most of the talking, but as a septic tank buried in my family's yard, I don't get out much. My last company was a moose who dropped by for some freeze-dried geraniums. Her table manners were atrocious. I have but one job. My life expectancy is excellent. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing pumps me out once a year. I continue to serve my family much better.
Hey Fairbanks, spring is in the air, and that means it's time for the Spring Makita Sale at Denali Industrial Supply. Denali Industrial Supply is your locally owned and operated headquarters for Makita Power Tools. Stop by today and you can find the best deals on Makita tools at the lowest prices. Don't wait though, it's only while supplies last. Come see the newest Makita tools at the IABA Home Show March 24th through the 26th. Talk to their factory reps and check out the Home Show specials. We'll see you there. Denali Industrial Supply, 1499 Van Horn Road. Just look for the big red roof.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM. And streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prison back in the studio here. And I have with me the General Consul of France, stationed in San Francisco. Is that the correct title?
Absolutely, that's correct. Consul General of France in San Francisco.
And I have Melissa in the Morning, Melissa Burnett,
yes.
Rock Candy.
Yes.
We all have monikers here. I'm mayor sometimes.
And, sometimes.
And jerk once
usually
in a
you're
while.
Just like, knock it off, David.
You, yeah.
Dave's so. Not here.
You brought up a good point about mushing.
Yeah, the Iditarod. Actually, I had we were talking during the break and told them that I wish their trip had been about a week and a half to 2 weeks sooner. They could have seen and checked out the Iditarod that was happening. Couple of mushers. We've had past mushers from France. Jacques Philippe, he ran. And then, of course, our one who runs every year, we've got Nick Petit. Just an absolute phenomenal guy based out of Girdwood down here in Alaska. And then you guys mentioned you had actually gotten to see him and meet him, and
Absolutely. I absolutely wanted to see such a, you know, a star, if I can say, yeah. here in Alaska. And he is, we're so proud that Nick Petit is actually doing so great. And so we came to see him, and it was a very, very impressive. Huh? Obviously, that's not a sport that you can do in Paris or in Marseille, marching. And so it's impressive that he made it to this level. And doing the Iditarod is just fascinating. 1,000 miles through the snow. And so we went to visit his dogs. We actually greeted each of his dogs. It's always impressive also to see how, you know, he knows them all perfectly.
And what's great about Nick, what I've always admired about him, is his dogs are more than just his working race dogs, right? Those are his family. Those dogs, they sleep in the house with him. They, like, every single dog is in that house with him. And he's phenomenal. So I'm glad you guys got to make that trip and see him and meet him and check that out, because, man, nothing more spectacular.
When did you get to Alaska?
So we came, we arrived on Monday. We started on Monday. So a whole week, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, but to come back to the dogs, it's definitely his family. If he pets one, he better pets
them all. Of them.
absolutely.
What was really great was there.
Sounds like Melissa's kids.
Yeah, pretty much.
If I'm gonna spank one, they're all getting it.
I used to do a lot of the online tracking with Iditarod. I actually was a volunteer for the Iditarod Trail Committee and helped with their online stuff. It was really great. Working with the cameras and such a. When you'd see Nick come in and, you know, he'd go to give his dogs a treat or he'd get to the dog yard, and it wasn't just a, yip, you know, pet, whatever. It was all of his dogs would come crashing on top of him, and that was like just the love that he has for his animals and the love that he has for his country as well, for France and everything that he does. It's so cool you guys got to do that. So very happy for that.
No, we are very proud to have him.
And you guys got to see the Northern Lights, so that's really cool. They haven't been out in like 2 weeks.
and we're sort of spoiled about that, too. You know, we sort of get...
All the time.
Yeah.
We sort of get
uppity if we don't get our Northern Lights out there.
We do. And it's been about 2 weeks. And my friend actually posted, she lives out in Two Rivers here, and she actually posted on Facebook. It was like still light outside, but you could see them. And I was like, I'm going outside.
it's interesting. You get visitors coming up here, and it might be overcast and might not be a good night for it. So they'll start sort of yelling at you. When am I going to see the Northern Lights?
When am I going to see the lights?
So I always say to them, you have to earn it. They will come out for you when you earn it.
You don't know what I would tell them.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I tell them that the light switch is in Mayor Ward's office.
Oh.
Call the borough mayor. The light switch is in his office.
You know, we heard about this amazing native theory that basically animals offer yourself to you and offer themselves to you when you deserve them.
Yes.
And so in a way, we felt very lucky that the Northern Lights in a way offered themselves to us last night.
Absolutely.
From here, you go up to Chino Hot Springs?
Yes, we will. We will go there. We will meet Bernie, who was actually the founder, I believe, of that place, and who will tell us all about what he can do with geothermal energy and how he manages to use this energy to run the place in a very sustainable way.
It's very amazing what they have out there and how they have it all set up. But not just the rock pool, but just the way they use electricity for the whole place out there, and they have diagrams, and check out the Ice Museum as well, and all of that.
Tonight he's going to be dining at the Pump House.
Oh, yes.
So
good food.
Yeah, and my thought is if you're in Alaska, that probably is the best seafood in the city.
Yeah.
Look for something of a local flavor, such as a halibut or a salmon.
Yeah, I don't think you can go wrong over at Pump House.
Yeah.
And get their carrot cake. It's delicious.
What type of food, you know, I know France is a big country, very, you know, different regional styles. What did you grow up on?
Well, you know, lots of different things, pastries, obviously, but also.
I wasn't expecting that. No.
but also meat and fish and all possible things. But just to come back to the salmon, it's really fascinating. You know how the Pacific salmon grows up in the sea and then comes back all the way to the up these rivers.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know how it makes it important to allow these passages to remain and go all the way. all the way back to lay his eggs on the top of these rivers. And so obviously salmon is going to be a top pick tonight.
It's sure. Please have the salmon. What's crazy about what you just said is, you know, the way it all works, and that's why we have, you know, issues right now and shortages with fishing. I do believe king salmon are again on the chopping block for, you know, minimal, if any at all, this year. So our, you know, our fish here, we try to protect it as hard as we can, because I mean, it's, when it's gone, it's gone. And I think we have some of the best salmon species around.
It's interesting, you know, you have your different fisheries, and the Copper River, which is
yep.
That's doing good. The Kuskokwim drainage,
yeah,
that's doing good, but your Yukon and your Cook Inlet drainages are doing very, very bad.
Yep.
And we're part of the Yukon drainage here, so we don't see the kings like we used to. We were discussing that in yeah. our earlier meeting.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, the evolution of climate, the evolution of nature is something that we are following very closely. France has launched, you know, an Arctic Institute, which is, you might wonder why France is involved in the Arctic, but there is this history of, you know, French scientists exploring the Arctic, the poles, be it North or South Poles. And we have lots of explorers, you know, throughout the past century who have been very active and researching, you know, the evolution of glaciers, the evolution of climate. And so this Arctic Institute is going to be a major piece, and it's expanding. It exists already and it's expanding. And so what's going on, you know, in the Arctic region is essential. And, you know, the evolution of different species and how we need to look at the sustainability of these different habitats is something really absolutely important to France.
I was at a school board meeting the other day where Colonel Alvarado spoke. He's our base representative from Eielson, and he was speaking about the Arctic research and things, and that seems to be a not just France, but Russia and Ukraine, Japan, everybody's kind of getting into this new Arctic exploration when it comes to research and science and climate and things like that. It's pretty fascinating.
It's never ending now.
Yeah.
And it's they have a lot to learn up there.
Yeah.
And they got a great place to learn it at. My goodness. So your institute is expanding from 300 to 500.
Yes,
so you're looking at that and how important that is already.
Yes, absolutely. No, absolutely. And it's, again, you know, things are evolving. The Arctic routes are opening. And so there are many things happening. And, you know, understanding where we come from is also essential to understand where we go to. And glaciers are actually, an open book of what went on in the history of our world in the, you know, back quite a while ago. And so it's essential to understand that and the impact that could, you know, France is a country on the seashore, just like Alaska and the US. And obviously the increase in the water level and temperature level will have an impact on our communities living on the seashore also. So it's something absolutely essential. Yeah.
Go ahead.
And another reason, the Arctic is essential is for strategic reasons. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of interest in this region, and major powers are looking at what's going on. And France, you know, as a member of the UN Security Council, permanent member of the UN Security Council, and who has a major navy presence on international seas, is also looking obviously at the impact of the open access possible soon, very no open access, you know, through this west route, Arctic route. And so this will have a major impact too, especially in a context where the Pacific region is becoming a strategically ever more important area.
You have France has a very strategic interest with lots of holdings in the Pacific.
Absolutely. We have 2 million French citizens living in the Pacific, in the Indo-Pacific region, in French Polynesia, in New Caledonia. 10,000 troops that are actually stationed in the Pacific region. So just like the U.S., we are very interested in this and very focused on this area. And I met with the deputy commander of JBIR in Anchorage, and we discussed all these matters. And I think there's a great room, and it's already occurring, a great cooperation, military cooperation between between France and the U.S. in this region.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You listen to KFAR. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hello, my name is Mike Simard from Simard Automotive, and I've got news. I have gas. I would like to announce the opening of our second location, 333 Illinois, formerly Alaska Chevron, as well as our new location on South Cushman. Four convenient locations, including Alaska's only full-service gas station on Gaffney Road. Schedule an appointment today at any one of our four locations and get gas relief. You can earn $25 to $100 of free gas. Go to our website for details, SimardAutomotive.com.
Arctic RV is a proud sponsor of Shooter's Corner with your host, Laura Berkowitz, for the latest news and conversation in the world of guns and your Second Amendment rights. Arctic RV helps their customers exercise their personal freedoms by getting out to play in Alaska and staying there longer. Although they are closed for now, they reopen this spring on April 3rd. Alaska plays rough, so rough it in style with Arctic RV. Listen in every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, right here on KFAR.
A cherished friend is back in town. Silver Gulch invites you to a fun evening of food, beer, and friendship. The fantastic selection of Silver Gulch beers are on tap. The menu speaks for itself, with some old favorites and some delicious new selections, too. It's a short drive to historic downtown Fox and the warmth and charm of the Silver Gulch Brewery. And remember, the bar opens at 3:30 Fridays through Sundays. Make your plans soon for the Silver Gulch.
Weather brought to you by the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Your eyes connect you to your world. Care for them with the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your eye health professionals on Mini Street.
KFAR weather.
Snow likely today, otherwise cloudy skies. Highs around 25, southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of snow again tonight. Lows dip down to about 1 below. Cloudy skies expected. Chance for snow tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 20, mainly sunny skies and calm. About an inch of snow today. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hey, Fairbanks, welcome back. I have the Consulate General here in the studio with me. How are you doing again, sir?
Very well, thank you.
So, becoming a diplomat, how did you decide to do that, or did it just somewhat happen? You go to college and then go into the school of diplomat school? I mean, you just don't come across that.
Yeah, well, it's a combination. First of all, in terms of background, you know, it's a combination of a law background and an economics background, basically. And how do you get to that? You know, reading about stories happening on the other side of the world, including in the Arctic region, by the way, and reading about, you know, others, and having also myself a little bit of an international background, and wanting also to serve, you know, to serve the general interest, to serve people of France. That combination leads you to, you know, focus on some, you know, a few jobs amongst them, diplomats. And so I did an internship to find out a little more. Obviously, I had no family background in that sector, in that domain. And so doing an internship and seeing how it works and seeing it's accessible, seeing it's possible to do it, passing the exams, and then that's it, basically.
Where was your first posting?
So the first posting was, I wasn't too unlucky, it was New York City.
That must have been expensive.
Yes, it was, absolutely, but it was a fascinating, you know, way to learn about and actually be an actor of, you know, negotiations at a formidable meeting place of all, you know, of the entire world, which is the United Nations.
Yes.
And actually, the, you know, fun fact, remember that the UN Charter was actually signed in June 1945 in San Francisco. And so there's a connection finally between what I did back then and what I'm doing now. All nations came together and thought we need after World War II, we need a way of understanding each other, talk in a multilateral fashion, and have law rule our relations instead of power. And that's what the UN, the United Nations is. And so negotiating in that context, as a permanent member of the UN Security Council, where these matters of international security are being discussed, was absolutely fabulous. And that was 5 years of, professional experience in the U.S., on one side of the U.S., and now I'm very happy to be also on the other side.
After the UN, where did you go?
And after that, I was a spokesperson in Brussels. So that's basically where a lot of European legislation is being adopted. In many fields, legislation adopted or implemented in different European countries. We have 27 EU countries right now. A lot of this legislation is being decided in Brussels on one side, and you have two chambers, just like the U.S. Congress. You have on one side the member states that decide, the 27 member states, and on the other side you have the representatives of the people, which is the European Parliament in Strasbourg. And so these two bodies together, they decide on many issues that are being basically regulate our day-to-day life. And so that's a fascinating place to be also in conjunction, if you wish, with what I did before at the United Nations.
So that's how the European Union is set up. Then you have your own private nation of France.
Exactly. Absolutely. And France is a very active, one of the founding members of the European Union. And it's a country which is very attached to the strength and vigor of the EU. And the EU as such is a great partner of the US on many fields. We're trying to reinforce that coordination. And I think we're sharing a common view again, just like back in 1945, that international matters should be dealt with in dialogue, should be dealt with, according to rules and not according to power. And that's why it's so important that, French and U.S. allies work together in that way to strengthen multilateral world. And that's what we're doing, especially in the UN context. And by the way, I'm speaking of, French and U.S. allies. We've been allies for a long time.
Before we were a country.
Yes, France actually fought alongside the U.S.
And you bankrolled us. Yeah, thank you. You're our first ally.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you, the Dutch, and the Spanish. My goodness.
We fought, alongside U.S. troops for the independence of the U.S. So that's and the other way around, you've provided, fascinating support in liberating our country, first during World War II, and then in World War I, and then World War II. And so we're very grateful to Americans for this. For allowing France and Europe to be France to be a free country and Europe to be a free continent.
Thank you. Now, your area is the Pacific Northwest. You must travel a lot.
I'm trying to as much as I can. We have, great communities, very active, obviously in the Bay Area, but then also in Seattle, which is a very active city with, many tech companies also. Portland also, beyond that, I'm very unfortunate because my constituency extends from Honolulu to Bozeman, going through Anchorage.
So go surf and go ski.
Yes, exactly. If I wish I could. But it's a fascinating area in many regards. We discuss the strategic aspect, obviously, which is essential. But these are also, economic powerhouses in many ways. Alaska for its resources. cities, and then the Bay Area for its tech community, the Seattle region for the same reasons. There are many very thriving French communities and also amazing local partners. And we discuss also universities. You know, these are areas, including Fairbanks, including Anchorage, and the University of Alaska, and these two cities where we have amazing, you know, possible projects.
Ready for a phone call?
Absolutely.
Here we go. Good morning. You're on KFAR with the French consul, and your name is?
Yeah, this is Matt.
Hello, Matt.
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to mention that in 1987, Jacques Cousteau's son had that sail ship in the Aleutian Islands. They were studying killer whales and the sea lion disappearing and the impact of commercial fishing. And we got to have a tour on that boat, and I thought that was the neatest thing ever when I was a kid.
We all grew up with Jacques Cousteau. That guy, he brought more people into marine biology than anyone in the world. I think we have a marine biology school in Alaska because of Jacques Cousteau.
Absolutely. You were talking about, you know, French explorers.
Yeah.
Jacques Cousteau is, you know, you said he was important in your childhood.
Oh, yeah.
He was essential in the childhood of many French people. He made, you know, he's one of the,
invented scuba diving equipment.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. He played a major role in underwater exploration. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I thought it was the neatest thing that they took the whole crew of a commercial fishing boat out in the middle of the Bering Sea, and we went over and they gave us an entire tour and they fed us and it was that big triangular wind ship. I'm not sure, was it the Calypso or was it another name? It was a big experimental triangle shaped big metal wind sails on it.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe the name of the ship was the Calypso, absolutely. But thank you for this testimony. I didn't know about this exploration in the Aleutians. And yes, I imagine he was all about, you know, again, also, you know, communities in dialogue. And no wonder that he was so open to, you know, local fishermen, basically allowing them to come on the ship and making a visit. Thank you for that testimony.
Matt, thank you. You have a great weekend, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
You too. Bye.
Yeah. Now, you know, we've talked about the citizens, but you also probably help and represent business interests of France here in your area.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, France is a nation that is very involved in cooperation with different U.S. states, and including with Alaska. Mm-hmm. You know, French companies are the fourth foreign job provider in Alaska. And we have we are engaged in $200 million dollars worth of trade between Alaska and France, and so absolutely, obviously, the trade interests are very important. And I'm sure there is room for improvement. You know, French companies are very involved in energy matters, and energy is an essential question for Alaska. And you know, you have very remote communities that are looking at, you know, how to get energy in a sustainable manner, and so there are probably many avenues that we can explore together in terms of energy production beyond oil and in sustainable and more sustainable matters, and also in terms of, you know, nuclear energy, for example, which is a very, you know,
France is a world leader in the micro nuclear power plants.
Yeah, well, we are certainly exploring. So we are in our energy mix, we are relying a lot, and which is, you know, of significance nowadays with strategic importance of energy. We are relying a lot on nuclear energy, and we're exploring more and more SMRs, small and medium reactors, to that effect. And that's, you know, certainly, you know, an area that could be explored between Alaska and France. Another area, obviously, is where we can probably explore more is tourism. France is, you know, world leader in tourism with dozens of millions welcomed in Paris yearly. But the other way around, I'm sure there's great potential for Alaska to to increase the number of French citizens visiting your fascinating state. We've been, you know, with Jacques Cousteau, with La Pérouse, we know these stories. We know about your fascinating countryside and glaciers and mountains and skiing and fishing, and all this is in our popular culture is very vivid, and there's a lot to be done around this.
Thank you so much. That's our show. You have a great day, Fairbanks. I will see you Monday.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
Your voice, your station. This is KFAR Radio, Fairbanks, the heartbeat of Alaska.
Shared values.